Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
It is the drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, and I emphasize Trevor Valise because I could swear a second ago I looked over and saw Hans D. What is he not here now, or what's going on?
He had to leave. Nothing serious.
Nothing serious, or you're being serious?
No, I am being serious.
He really left us?
Yes, he did.
Oh my gosh. Well, no, honestly, everything's good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Well, what the heck? I mean, he's never done that before. Derek.
Big time in this.
Derek, I mean, it's one thing.
To the nth degree.
Yeah. It's one thing to not even show up, but then to show up and get you all excited that Hans D is going to be here. So did he leave you with the who you got?
He did. He's flexing his muscles, I guess. He's basically just waving it in our faces that he could show up for 3 minutes, make more than us, and leave.
What was he doing here? What did he even do?
Did he literally
just leave?
I guess he just came to draw. This is a spit at you, Trevor.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, I'm going to show up. I'm going to give my work to Trevor, and since he's a minion to me, he can do the who you got. That's exactly what Hans
is doing. That's right. Yep.
This is unbelievable. This will not be forgotten.
But you know what? We are professionals.
Yes, we are.
I'm just going to take it and roll with it.
Yeah.
And I'll do who you got.
Here's what I'm going to do, then.
You?
Yeah, let's do that. And by the way, since it's Friday, and I know we're all waiting, and not only is it Friday, guys, it is a holiday weekend. It's 4th of July, our independence. Everybody out there is going to have a wonderful weekend with family and friends.
House cleaning, by the way, that we're not on Monday.
Yeah, we're not going to be on Monday.
And actually, regardless of the holiday, we wouldn't be.
Okay.
Because the Cardinals and Giants are playing, I believe, at 4 o'clock on Monday.
Perfect.
So we wouldn't have been on regardless, but.
Well, let's tell people that we were going to be on, but the Cardinals stopped us.
Yeah.
Because we are workers. 100% worker bees. I'm going to maybe be golfing on Monday. So I know, Pipes, you got that done. So we'll see. We'll see how I do Monday, and I'll
much
try not
better,
to
better, I can assure you.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll try not to get hurt. I think Lucas and I are going to go golf, so I'm going to get smoked, but whatever. Maybe I'll mentally get in his grill and see if I can beat him there. But, okay, it's the 4th of July weekend. We always, at 5:05 on Friday, we always enjoy one of these. Get them up in the air. I know they're already iced down for the weekend, so just get them out of that cooler. It is time to celebrate the weekend. It's time to celebrate Independence Day. And I'm going to be frank. This is to everyone but Hans D. So let's get it up in the air. Have a great weekend. Independence weekend, 4th of July is Sunday. I think the parade, I may be going to the parade Sunday just to see. A couple of years ago, Bear in the Big Blue House was there, the Bear Man. So I took a picture of that and a selfie with Bear and sent it out because my kids grew up during the Bear era.
I remember watching that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mouse or
kinda
whatever.
Creepy. I mean, he's a big bear.
really
it wasn't
big.
Like a cuddly thing. It was like, this guy is he looked like a dinosaur, but a bear, you know?
He had to, duck to get through a house.
Well, he lived in, the attic or something,
didn't
he? I don't know why you'd put him up there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cat's back, bear, or something.
He always sang goodbye and told you to go to bed at the end.
Yes, exactly. And I was always like, no, 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 stay on another half hour because you're entertaining my children at a baby stage, so please stay on, bear. So, yeah, I'm going to maybe take that in, see if the bear in the big blue house come through on Sunday. All right, so without Hans D, we don't need him. Trevor, are you ready to roll on who you got?
Did you see that they're making a Clifford the Big Red Dog movie?
They are.
But it's like a live-action CGI giant red dog.
Ooh.
It looks horrible.
That would be freaky.
It looks so bad. Ugh. I'm not sure why they're doing that.
That always reminds me, Clifford back in the day, I think that would have been Andrew, and that was that Cairo guy.
Caillou?
That whined.
The bald kid, yeah.
I'm like, sit your you-know-what in that corner and shut up! That's exactly what
really,
I wanted to say to
him. Really annoying. Yeah.
I think people watched that with kids just to tell their kids how not to act. Maybe that was the idea.
There was no redeeming quality with that show whatsoever.
So when I think of Clifford, maybe sometimes I want Clifford to go over and just knock him around.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Caillou.
Yeah, beat up Caillou a little bit. All right, we better get to who you got before trouble. So here we go.
Going to start out with the Cubs.
Oh boy,
they had yesterday
off. Of course,
mercilessly. But now they take on the Reds for three. The Reds 39-40. The Padres went in there and beat up on the Reds this past week. Cubs still above 500, 42-39, but now well out of first place with the Brewers, I believe, six up on them right now.
Got it.
So we'll do the whole series. Cubs at Reds. Alec Mills starts tonight for the Cubs. I don't have the rest of the probables in front of me.
Okay.
Some of it's TBD, which that would also be my status in terms of interest watching the game. Cubs at Reds. Who you got?
You know, Pipes wore his Cubs blue yesterday, but I guess the good news is they weren't playing. So I'm going to let you off the hook, Pipes, because I didn't know if it was Cubs blue or Kentucky blue. But
Cubs blue. I'll stick with that.
Okay, yeah. Not, you'd rather be known as that than Kentucky blue. There's no doubt. Okay, so this is a big series, Trevor. I want you to calm down for a second. Your Cubbies are three games over 500. You've got the Reds, a team that's beatable. I mean, the Brewers are going to have to start playing somebody one of these days.
Yeah, but the problem is they're playing the Pirates.
I know, but eventually, right? And we've got a long... We're not even to the All-Star break. So I need you to just calm down.
Okay.
I think you need to look at this series as a big one. I think this could be a really big series for the Cubs because you're coming off that sweep against the Brewers. That last game was devastating. You're up 7-0. You lose, 15-7 on Wednesday? So that is one of those where all of a sudden you look up, you were up 7-0, you lose 15-7, you're six games out of first, the earth is falling, or the sky, I guess, is falling is what they say. You can still kind of gain some traction. It's almost like you're falling down a mountain. You got to get your foothold on something here. And that would be taking at least two or three in this race. Oh, it's probably a four-game series, right?
No, it's three.
It's three. Okay. So at least take two or three against the Reds. And I think that's what the Cubs are going to do, Pipes. I think they realize, even though we're not to the All-Star break, this mentally, I think, is a big series for them. And if you're the Reds, you could really put a nail in big time in the Cubs right now because they're flailing. And you could even go further down in the standings with the Brewers playing, as Trevor said, the Pirates. So this is a big series. I think Cubs take two or three.
Yeah, you mentioned putting a nail in the sails, that little Dr. Seuss for you, of the Cubs. And we need it out of Dan Hartlib's squad,
the
Cincinnati Reds. I'm not feeling good about the Cubs tonight. Alec Mills against Sonny Gray. I would lean Reds. But I do like the way it sets up after that. You get Alzolay on Saturday, Hendricks on Sunday. Hendricks versus Wade Miley on the 4th should be a solid one. But I don't know. I get the sense, and Trevor could correct me if I'm wrong, that the Reds play the Cubs fairly well, especially in Cincinnati. I would lean Reds 2 out of 3 at home would be my feel. But I'm a little jaded because the Reds 4-game swept the Cardinals when I was in St. Louis for my bachelor party. So I might not have a real accurate read on who they actually are.
I don't share in Lon's optimism at all. I always feel like the Reds are going to sweep the Cubs when they're in Cincy. I'm not sure why. It just seems like they hit a million home runs.
Yeah.
Aquino, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He
came
up and hit like 6 home runs in a 4-game series against the Cubs. Has sucked ever since.
Right.
I don't feel good about this at all.
Okay. I forgot about that dude, man. He came on like fire there.
The Reds are going to sweep him.
Okay.
And if that happened, unless the Cardinals did a 4-game sweep of the Rockies, the Reds would be in second place.
Oh, my goodness.
Behind
okay.
the Brewers. So.
This might be a big series here.
Yeah.
So, enjoy it tonight.
Well,
Trevor.
The last big series we got swept, and the one ray of light I had was a 7-0 lead, which went away in 20 minutes. So,
you're calling nine? Is that, would that be nine straight losses if
yeah.
they got swept?
Oh, my yeah. goodness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's bad.
That would not be good.
Sell it all.
Yeah.
Get on
rid
the
of
other
it.
Side of things and the other side of town, the White Sox, 48-32, going to Detroit for a nice three-game series this weekend. Who you got?
Let it be noted that we went from the Cubs to the White Sox. Is that how Hans had it typed up, or is this just you as a Cubs fan doing this and not bringing the Cardinals in second?
I'm saving the...
not the best for last.
The mediocre for last. I'm going bad, then good, then mediocre.
Now, I mean, the White Sox, I mean, Jeremy Warner and Tiff, they went to a game this week, right? Didn't that, was that Thursday, I think? They went up to...
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday's Thursday.
He was tweeting about how he had to start talking Kofi and figure that out in the middle of him at the game.
Wait, we're no Kofi talking.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
Yeah, we're tabling that. We've tabled that in our board meeting for Tuesday. You know, the White Sox, that was one of those games. I know Tiff said she was only there for the hot dogs and beer. So at least good for her. I don't blame her. At least the White Sox are a team that is above 500 by far. They've got the Tigers, except for playing against the Cardinals. The Tigers are horrible. So I'm going to have to go White Sox here to get this done. I think they sweep. The Tigers.
A nice sweep, huh?
Yeah.
I'll give them 2 out of 3.
Okay.
I'll say the Tigers get one. Their offense isn't terrible.
Little meatloaf put up over there. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Is that meatloaf? It doesn't matter. You guys don't even know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
Either. Lance Lynn throwing tonight. His ERA is about 2. I mean, he's been spectacular. Giolito on Sunday. Gio has been one of the pieces for the White Sox in that rotation that if he actually pitches up to ace level potential or even heck with Rodon, like just being that next tier, that would be a key for the White Sox to unlock and go even be even better than they actually are. So it's like 2 out of 3. Tigers are not completely awful.
Yeah, I agree. 36 wins, right, or something.
I mean, they're only 9 games below 500. It's not like they're Pirates level bad.
Or Cardinals. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, they're not.
I'm sorry. Well, they just beat the Cardinals, so maybe that's
well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of those Cardinals, the remaining 3 games of the Cards-Rockies series, who you got?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, am I supposed to get excited about this little, the Cardinals are starting to win again? You know, you got the Rockies. This is the home of the All-Star break or All-Star game, right?
How many will Oviedo walk tonight?
Oh, my gosh.
That's the real issue who we have lined up here.
Yeah.
Oviedo, LeBlanc, Carlos Martinez.
Listen, say what you want about Wade LeBlanc, but he's one of our best pitchers in the last week. Right? I mean, come on. So Carlos is going to anchor this thing on Sunday.
4th of July.
Oh, my. Yeah. On Sunday.
There'll be fireworks at Coors on the 4th.
Man. Jeez. I just have a bad feel about this. Back in the day when Andrés Galarragos and was that how you said his name?
Andrés Galarragos.
Larry Walker.
Dante Bichette.
Walt Weiss, didn't he play for the Rockies back in the day? When those guys were just banging things around and just the Cardinals would go into Colorado and they would be actually I remember one time Joe Buck was still doing Cardinals baseball on KMOX. So he had taken over essentially for Jack and was kind of the lead play-by-play guy for the Cardinals. And there was a game I was working at the time at WAND living in Sullivan, Illinois, and the Cardinals had like a 9-0 lead. And those games weren't on all the time. So I was listening on the radio to Joe Buck. And it was a rare day off for me from TV because I always had days off during the week. And it was like 9-0 Cardinals. And I'm like spring cleaning or something, or maybe summer cleaning. I don't know what I was doing. And the next thing you know, it's like 9-8. And then the next thing you know, the Cardinals lost like 12-9. And I'm like, I hate Coors Field. I hate it. I want to go to a game there sometime. It'd be cool. I guess what I'm getting at here is I have no faith in the Cardinals, but the Rockies are not good either. I'll say an even split. I'll say 2-2, however it works out. Cardinals at least win 2 of these.
Coors Field is spectacular, by the way. You absolutely should go.
Have you been?
I've been there.
Nice.
You
know,
got the obviously the mountains out in the outfield. Oh. It's a beautiful scene. And you can probably get cheap tickets and
probably
drop the Arenado trade on your way in and make a lot of friends. But mentioning Coors Field, the Rockies on the road away from that place, 6-31 this year.
Oh, Wow.
6-31. Actually, double-digit games above 500 at home. So
really?
Combine that with our pitching lineup here, and I'll give us one of the next three.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
On to the ice.
Let's go!
Lightning at Canadiens.
Scores!
Montreal's first crack at a home game in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's tonight at 7 on NBC. Tampa Bay leads 2-0 in the series.
Where's Doc Emmerich?
Who you got?
Mm. Where's Doc Emmerich?
They're losing their rights after this year.
I know.
ESPN's getting it back, so I think he retired at the right time.
Yeah, he may have. Maybe ESPN's going to throw a boatload of money. I would. If I were ESPN, I'd say, Doc, you took a year off or two. I can't remember. You've had your time away. You've gotten a little bit of rest. Come back on the first year that ESPN has it, which, by the way, when Lante learned what hockey was, essentially, was in 1987 when ESPN would show games. And I would sit there and watch games in Patterson Springs, Camargo, Illinois, and learn what hockey was, learn what offsides was, learn what, you know, this or that was. So kind of cool. It's going back to ESPN. I would do anything if I'm ESPN to get Doc Emmerich back on there. All right. It's been a cool little run.
Did you learn what icing was? Because yeah, I'm still a little confused.
I did. You just can't throw the puck down without at least trying to get it to another teammate. Okay. Is that a simple way of putting it?
Sometimes they stop it automatically in an assumptive way,
yeah,
even though it looks like the player may be able to beat it down, and I don't get that at all.
Yeah, because basically because there was no attempt at a pass. They're just throwing it down the ice. What hockey did is on a power play, or not on a power play, I'm sorry, but on full a power play, you can throw it down the ice all the time. So if you're shorthanded, throw it down the ice all the time. There's no penalty. But even strength, what they've done now is you'll see a team that's like just peppering a goalie, and the defense has been out there for 2 minutes, which is a lengthy time in hockey, and then all of a sudden the defenseman just throws it down the ice. They call icing. Well, guess what? You can't leave now. If you're on that defensive unit, you have to, well, everybody, all five have to stay on ice. So really, you get a little bit of it. You catch your breath a little bit for 20 seconds, and that's probably still even then at worth it. Plus, you go back to a faceoff. But now it's just a matter of if you want to clear it on 5-on-5, you've got to do it the right way, or you've got to stay on the ice, and you can't start changing players. So they're trying to kind of keep hockey more entertaining. Listen, the Canadiens were a fun story. It has to be tonight, right? They have to win tonight. They're down 2-0 in this. The Lightning have just kind of, I mean, they dominated game one in that series. So if Montreal, which is a cool story, the entire country of Canada has not won a cup since 93, and it was the Habs back then, the Canadiens. So they got to do it tonight. I say they do. Are we doing the entire series or just this game?
Whatever you want.
Let's just
got a feel for the whole series, you know, call it. Let's do this.
We'll do the next two games because there'll be one, I think, on Sunday would be the next game as
Monday.
Well. Oh, Monday, game four. I say Montreal comes back and makes this a fun series. I say that because I want it to be.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm some Canadian fan or a Canada fan. I just love it for that country that they're kind of finally have a reason to be celebrating again. So I say the Canadiens tie this up 2-2, and then we got a really good series heading back to Tampa.
That'd be a lot of fun to see. I'll give the Canadiens at least one game. Let's say it's tonight because of that environment. It's going to be there in Montreal to be in the cup final. And we saw that overtime goal and just the scene there to advance them to the finals was pretty insane. So I'll say they'll split the next two.
Okay.
It'll be 3-1 Lightning going into game five.
Got it. Then Montreal will have to do something special in game five down in Tampa.
To the cricket pitch.
By the way, one of the best bars ever down in Channelside in Tampa called Hat Trick. Hat Tricks. One of the best bars ever. Some of the best wings I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
And those that serve it. Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderfully served.
The Bears play at the Bucks this year. I might have to go down check that out.
Channelside is the area around Tampa. It's right where the Lightning play. There's a bay it's beautiful right there. Hat Tricks. You have to hit Hat Tricks.
All right.
Maybe I'll go with you.
You should.
Let's go. Hey, Trevor, I just called you Baker. I've got a buddy named Trevor Baker. I just called you Baker.
Okay.
Why don't we all go?
I thought you were going to say, could you host the show by yourself for a few days?
No, I say we all go. We do our show live from Hat Tricks.
Got it.
The Friday before the Bears game.
Okay.
Let's do that. I mean, let's see
if Tom Brady can sit down for a segment.
I'll call my buddy Mike, who lives next to Hat Tricks, and say, hey, go talk to the GM. See if he can throw a little bit of money at it. And we'll get every Central Illinois person that ever goes to Tampa to go to Hat Tricks. I'm in. Let's do it.
If we can't get Brady, we'll at least get Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm here for the Garrick McGee tell-all at Hat-Tricks on
Friday
afternoon.
Oh, my gosh, I'm in. That would be, you'd have to, I don't know, that could be dangerous for me at Hat-Tricks on a Friday. Yeah.
Okay, cricket.
Cricket!
We've got some British, I don't know, you know, we mentioned once that this was royalty. I forget if that was Yorkshire that was owned by royalty or the other
team.
Sounds
like a dog. That's a Yorkie.
Right. Yeah. But we've got Yorkshire at Lancashire.
Wow.
I don't have a betting spread on this yet. It's yet to come out. It's tomorrow morning at 11 a.m.
Oh, really?
It's a big cricket match. Yorkshire, Lancashire. Who you got?
This is like a dog versus a food seasoning. I'm going to take the dog. I mean, I love dogs. I'm going to go with the Yorks. I'll go Yorkshire to get the upset cricket-wise over Lancashire.
See, I think it's Yorkshire, but Lancashire.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll go with that.
I don't know.
Sure. I'll go with the Yorks.
Still the Yorkies.
The Yorkies.
And then we've got Somerset at Middlesex. Don't laugh.
Just because it's a Friday and we are in junior high.
That's 2 p.m. tomorrow.
2 p.m. Well, I'm going to go Middlesex on 4th of July weekend. Let's do it. Middlesex.
Good luck with that.
Middlesex. I'm going to get in trouble if I say anything other than Middlesex all day, all night.
Somerset's walking into a tough one there on the road. All right, we're going to close it out here.
Yep, we're closing it out with WNBA tonight, the Chicago Sky, the regional team. They're two games above 500, in case you haven't been paying attention.
Oh, of course I have.
But it's 10-8 Chicago Sky at the 8-9 Dallas Wings. You mentioned Wings.
Yes.
If they don't have some type of, like, Buffalo Wings sponsorship or something at that stadium, they're missing out. Who you got?
Dallas is always tough to play. The one thing, you mentioned it earlier about the Colorado Rockies. If you check your WNBA stats, and I do.
Which I'm doing right now.
You're doing right now. Dallas is hard to beat at home. But the Chicago Sky, as Trevor mentioned, 10-8, out to a pretty good start, trying to kind of turn that organization back around, or organization, as they'd say in Canada. I'm going to go Sky on the road for the upset.
Sky on the road. I'm with you. You got Candace Parker, of course, Chicago Sky. We got some star power there. And don't forget about Diamond DeShields, who is definitely from the Delino DeShields family tree.
Either the Diamond Stone family tree or the DeShields.
The Shields family. Okay. Got to be.
Makes sense. What a great second baseman.
A lot of speed.
I like it.
Yeah.
So you're now that's with the Sky?
That's with the Sky.
I knew that. I was just joking. Yeah, no. I was just giving you grief.
His junior's in the league, isn't he? DeShields Jr.
Baseball? He was at one point.
I'm not sure if he
stole a lot of bases. I don't know.
Who knows?
DeShields and Clayton up the middle back in the day.
Exactly. All right, so that is who you got. Trevor, thanks for sticking in.
I mean, when your EGOT guy leaves, you got to do something about it.
Well, this shows you that Hans could care less about us. Let's be honest. Trevor, on the other hand, cares about the show. He cares about the product. So he stepped in and did it right. Hans D., whatever.
I just want to throw this out there real quick. I've heard that Hans is flying fireworks back and forth between Indiana and Illinois.
Oh.
So we can just alert the air patrol or those.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm just going to put that out there.
He's pirating.
Yeah.
He's pirating fireworks.
Pirating pyrotechnics.
Yeah. And knowing him, he's flying all the way to Crawfordsville. Or no, is it Crawford? What's the place with the beef house?
Not quite as far as Crawfordsville. I don't know what the name is.
Covington.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's only like 5 minutes by car. So what Hans is doing is he takes off and he immediately lands.
Yep.
They load up the plane and they fly straight back. So,
well, you know, on that drive, as soon as you hit the state border, there's like this giant,
boom,
Phantom fireworks or Ed's fireworks or something. It's like right there.
Yep. That's where he's at, police.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to out him. Because he's our guy.
I'm glad you did.
But then he went and left.
Yep.
So, I mean.
I think that's, when he left, 30 minutes, he's probably on his way back.
Fair game.
So he is in the air right now to all the air traffic policemen. I don't even know what you call those. You need to identify Hans D., bring him down. Not bring him down like the plane. Just get him to the ground and arrest him. Get him arrested. All right. That's the who you got. We still have to finish this show off and enjoy a weekend. So we'll do that next. It is The Drive.
I'm Ben Quattrone, owner-operator at Sarah Champagne. I enjoy a good game like anyone else, but not when I'm buying a car. At Sarah Champagne, located in Savoy, we've got multiple franchises, and we're transparent, no haggle, no BS, no hassle, and our price is generally lower than anywhere else you'll find. We've always got 30 cars under $10,000. We have luxury models, too. We do business a little differently at Sarah Champagne. Most of our customers really appreciate it. Visit SarahChampagne.com, SarahChampagne.com, and look at 500 cars.
Hi, I'm Troy Lanz, owner of Lanz, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LanzInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lanz, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lanz family. I'm Troy Lanz, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Actually, this is just a radio ad for Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
It's in the tension again, Dennis. Trust me. This is Pirate Radio, and we're taking over the airwaves for an important announcement from Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Hold on a second. Now, I'm an upset customer with a real problem. My dishwasher is leaking water, and I have about 8 kids. Last count, anyway.
Okay. This commercial's an important announcement from Dennis.
That's right. Wow.
All right, here we go. This is Pirate Radio, and Dick Van Dyke Appliance World has taken over your airwaves with an important message.
I'm Dennis Regan, owner of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. If you want award-winning appliance repair service, award-winning appliance sales, stop into one of our 4 locations.
Dennis, we're out of time.
That's a bummer.
Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
No one in AA said to me, why would a nice young girl with such a great future drink so much? They told me about themselves, and I found out that there were a lot of other people who were just like me. They drank only because the desire to drink was stronger than anything else. They didn't say to me, if only you'd do this, you wouldn't drink. In AA, they said, welcome, come in and sit down. We know how you feel. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works.
In East Central Illinois, over 100 AA meetings and almost 20 Zoom meetings in our district each week. AA-ECI.org.
Are you ready to travel? It's the American Queen Upper Mississippi Cruise, and you're invited. Hey, it's Stevie J. Finally, we have a trip. Join us along with the Champaign County Farm Bureau and Lois Wood and our tour leader, Mary Beth Karasik, for this wonderful August getaway. It's August 21st through the 29th. We'll start in Alton, Illinois. We'll cruise all the way up the Mississippi to Red Wing, Minnesota, stopping in Clinton, Iowa, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and Hannibal, Missouri, home of Mark Twain. Join us for this incredible trip on the Mississippi, and all of the crew and passengers will be fully vaccinated. Prices start at just $3,362, but space is limited. You can visit steviejtravel.com, that's steviejtravel.com, to get all your information. Or for more information, just call us, 217-840-9913. For the American Queen Upper Mississippi Cruise, August 21st through the 29th. Stevie J Travel, where do you want to go?
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. Happy birthday, America. I have very specific reasons why I'm grateful and thankful. And if you want to know why, see my video at HabibHabib.com, and I bet you may put a few flags in your own yard. Thank you, America.
What if you could buy groceries and help those in need at the same time? By shopping at Salt and Light Urbana, you partner with us in helping people right here in our community. Our participants earn store credit for every hour they volunteer, whether it is a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, a pair of shoes, or a warm winter coat. Our folks get what they need without the cost of their dignity. Regularly buying some of your groceries will help others to feed their families while you feed yours. Salt and Light. Shop. Donate. Change lives.
Urbana Park District has great ideas for friends or family to gather. At Crystal Lake Park in Urbana, canoe and kayaks rent for $8 for a half an hour, $10 an hour. Life jackets are provided and required Thursday through Sunday, now through August 8th. Crystal Lake Park in Urbana is open for rentals from noon to 7. Rent canoes, kayaks, paddle boats, and more, all at Crystal Lake Park in Urbana. For details, call 217-367-1544. or visit UrbanaParks.org. You belong here.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana. When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
Law Enforcement Official of the Month brought to you by Pepsi Cola Champaign Urbana Bottling Company. Family owned and operated since 1953.
Amber Oberheim, the widow of Chris Oberheim, who the community has mourned since May 19 when he responded to domestic. And we all went through all of that with the Oberheim family. Amber, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Tell people who Chris Oberheim was.
Chris Oberheim was a family man, first and foremost. He loved me. He loved our four daughters more than anything in this world. He was a servant. He had a servant's heart. He was an excellent baseball, softball player. He was an excellent softball coach. He was an excellent police officer. I mean, I could go on for days and days.
But he loved being a police officer, didn't he? Why do you think he loved it so much?
You know what? It was just one of those things that was kind of in his blood. He knew the law forwards, backwards.
He wanted to help people. I mean, the whole point of Chris Oberheim was, you know, helping people on not their best day.
Absolutely.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years. And for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B. and Stevie J. broadcasting, and you are listening to the amazing ESPN Radio 93.5.
Joining us today are GM head coach Michael Tulip and guard Brandon Paul. I'm going to give Brandon a quick second to do an opening statement just on joining the team this year and being a part of House of Pain, and then we'll throw it to Mike, talk about Brandon's addition as well as their first-round matchup, and then we'll open the floor for questions.
Yeah, I'm just excited to play with the team. I played with a couple of guys before, and some of them I haven't. So, I've known Juice for a long time. It'll be fun to get back on the court with him. And it's a lot of competitive guys together, so it's gonna be a good run.
Mike, you want to talk about the addition of Brandon, what he brings to the table, as well as what the first-round matchup against Jackson looks like?
Yeah, for starters, obviously it goes without saying how excited we were to have Brandon join us this year. Been around a lot of guys in my time in the basketball world, and Brandon is right up there with one of the most competitive dudes that I've been around. So adding a guy like that to the team with his, to go along with his skill set and to go along with his versatility and his leadership, it goes a long way. It goes a long way for this team and our prospects of making a deep run in this tournament. And, obviously we open it up with Jackson, Tennessee underdogs and just going through and watching film on them. And luckily they've been a tournament participant for the last few years. So you can have some film on them and how they play together. And they're a scrappy bunch. They pressure you. They try to knock you off your spots. And I think it's going to be a really good test for us in the opening round.
Hey, Brandon. I guess just what were your conversations like with Mike as you sort of figured out, how you might, join the team this year?
I mean, he's been pretty persistent trying to get me on the team in the last couple of years. And he knows that I don't really, I haven't played, obviously. I played last year, but I spend a lot of time in my summers kind of just working out and traveling because that's kind of my time to take off. So he was pretty respectful of my time, and he's always let me know that there's definitely a lot of interest on that side. And I just felt like this summer was a good situation for me to come and play, and I think it'd be a lot of fun.
And I guess you've played in the TBT before. Dimitri has as well. And just what do you feel like maybe the two of you can bring to House of Pain that's, you know, just in its second year of existence?
I mean, obviously last year was a little strange with COVID and it being my first year, but I just think the fact that we're both veterans, we've both been to the tournament together, we could bring some of that, you know, skill set and some of that wisdom along with some of the younger guys.
I guess, you know, with the games in Peoria, I mean, odds are going to be a lot of, you know, Illinois fans there. Just how much are you maybe looking forward to playing in front of, you know, that fan base again?
It's going to be a blast. I can't wait. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. I know how much the fans have been following this team and, you know, following Mike's progress, you know, what he was able to do last year. So, you know, I feel like it's been a long time coming, and a lot of people have been waiting for this team to become, you know, a team. So I'm excited.
Hey, Brandon, I hope you're well, man. Just wondering, just watching them last year, House of Pain, did that influence you at all after seeing some of their success?
Not really. I was excited to see how well they were doing. If I'm being quite honest, I really wasn't thinking about TBT a lot last year. I didn't want to go at the end of the day. I was excited to play, but some situations, some stuff happened that was out of my control. But I'm very excited this year, and you know, I know that they've got some guys coming back from the team from last year, so it'll be good to add that experience as well.
I know you've had so much pro experience now. It's almost been a decade you've been around the world, Brandon. So I'm just wondering, just bigger picture wise, how is, you know, being in Spain, the NBA, G League, China, Australia, like how has that kind of impacted you and kind of just your perspective on everything?
I would say it's impacted me tremendously. Honestly, more from just not a basketball standpoint, just from a life perspective, just understanding that anywhere you go, there's problems. Anywhere you go, there's issues, and people deal with the same stuff that you deal with. You know, sometimes it's on a greater scale, sometimes on a smaller scale. But I think all my travels has definitely opened my eyes and helped me see a lot of perspective.
So if you tell, like, people, you know, some Illinois players trying to get pro right now, like, what kind of advice would you give them about being a professional basketball player, whether it's the league, whether it's overseas, wherever?
Easiest thing, and I don't want to sound cliche, is just to humble yourself, because a lot of these kids, not just Illinois guys, but a lot of players that want to become pros, they want it right away. They want to join the NBA right away. They want to go on a contending team. They want this, that, and the other, but they don't want to put in the work, and they don't realize how hard it is to get to that spot. You know, there's only, I don't know how, whatever it is, 350 guys or wherever the number is in the NBA every year, and there's millions of basketball players. So guys just got to realize that, you know, sometimes you got to take a step back to take a step forward. And I think once guys swallow their pride and they're willing to accept that, they can help their futures.
Brandon, given your experience at all different levels of basketball, where do you think playing in TBT last year kind of is stacked up in terms of, I guess, the competition as well as the talent level?
Well, it was very competitive. It was fun playing against those guys with Silent Cancer. And, you know, we had a competitive bunch, and, you know, our staff, they definitely wanted to win. And they did what they could with the situation that we were given. But, you know, I think every year it's gotten better. You know, I watched it a couple years ago when I was in Chicago. You know, I try to catch it on TV when I can. And I think every year it's gotten better and better.
Mike, looking at the bracket and your road to Dayton, what are your thoughts on the potential path and what you guys need to do to get back to the quarterfinals this year?
It's always tough with a single elimination tournament. You really do have to focus on what's right there in front of you. And for us right now, that's the Jackson, Tennessee underdogs. And you look at, obviously, potential matchup with Always a Brave or Tubby Time. And, you know, I know Boeheim's Army has obviously put together a great team as well, but you really can't worry about that. And really truly have to take it one game at a time, and we'll be prepared. We'll have personnel, we'll have film, and we'll put all that together so that these guys feel as confident as they can in the game plan and what we need to do to win these games. So you take it one game at a time, but yeah, of course, I mean, you look at the bracket and you look at your path. But I think if we just take care of business game by game, all the rest of that stuff will take care of itself.
What's up, Mike? As far as being a GM, how maybe challenging is it to get all the guys together, but at the same time, how much fun is it to contact all these guys and get them together and be on the same team once again?
I think you nailed it just in the question itself. I mean, it's certainly a challenge, but it's also it's fun to see them all together. I think the biggest thing, and Brandon touched on it a little bit, is I always want to be mindful of these guys off seasons and you know, knowing Brandon just even on a personal level, I mean, he likes to travel, he likes to see the world, and his time to do that is summer months, and done playing. And for a lot of guys, you know, that's a chance for them to enjoy their summers and maybe get together with friends. And like I said, go and travel and see family and all that's extremely important. So I try to make sure that these guys know that, and it's not a, hey, if you don't come play for us, you're dead to me type thing. I mean, it truly is a situation where I want them to understand that I see it from their perspective but I think when you go down the list, each one of these guys and their commitment to this team, it means that much more, because I know that how much they value these days in their off season. And keeping in mind as well that last year wasn't a typical off season. You know, there wasn't a lot of, no one could travel. No one could go and do those things that they typically do in the off season. So, and this is, seems like things are opening back up. So there's the opportunity to do that. And for these guys to commit to us this year and, having all of that culminating, I mean, it means a lot. And on my end, helping kind of put together the team, I want to make sure that it's worth their time, and that we can assemble a group that can win a lot of games, and that it is organized and it doesn't just feel like it's a circus when we get everybody together. So that's the main focus. And you know, I always go back to just saying how appreciative I am of these guys and kind of buying into the whole cause.
You talk about commitment and, you know, having it all be organized. How many practices kind of go into it? What's kind of the behind the scenes work? Because obviously as fans and media, we love watching it, but we don't really know what goes on behind the scenes besides the games.
Yeah, I mean, it's unconventional. It's a summer tournament with a lot of high level players. So you're not going to have a ton of time to practice. We have a 3-day training camp scheduled in Peoria in the days leading up to the tournament so that we can get guys acclimated, implement some sets. But at the end of the day, you try to do all the work on the front end. And all that stems from, can we get good players? Can we get skilled players? Can we get smart players? And if you can check all those boxes, it makes it a little bit easier. It speeds up that learning curve to where you get to Peoria and you don't have to worry about, man, is this guy going to catch on to what we're trying to do? Or is this guy going to be a problem? Is this a good guy? Is he going to be a problem? You know, all those things go into putting together the roster, the organizational aspect of it, and then making sure that you can have guys that are like-minded, if you can have guys that know each other. Brandon talked about even just knowing Juice since he was in seventh or eighth grade. All that stuff goes a long way when you bring guys together and there's that familiarity. So those are the things that you think about in the months leading up to the tournament. I've always said that this is a year-round planning process. You can't just hop into it in June and in May and assume that you're going to put a product out there that can do some damage. So that's really the main focus.
I'll go back to Brandon here. Brandon, you provided some great moments for Atlanta fans in your career. Didn't have a lot after that, but in the last couple of years, Brad's got this program going along with Ion Kofi and all these guys. Like, what have you thought watching them, and what's going to mean for you to wear orange and blue again?
It was great to see them and how they've transformed the program the last couple of years and how much success they've had. It's very exciting, you know, to kind of just sit back and be a fan and kind of see what it's like to be an Illini fan. It's a lot of fun. To put it back on, it's definitely going to be special. And I just kind of want to put on a show for the fans more than anything. You know, I'm coming in to compete. I'm coming in to win and hopefully bring some guys some money. But other than that, I'm excited to play in front of the fans again and just be able to continue to play basketball for a living.
And you said Mike has been persistent. What does that look like? Like, how often was he hitting you up?
I mean, Mike, hats off to Mike, because anyone close to me, whether that's my immediate family or my closest friends or whatever kids I went to school with, I'm really bad at texting people back, and like my response time is like non-existent. So he might text me on a Monday and he'll follow back up two Mondays later just to get okay, you know, for me. But he knows I mean well, you know, he knows that I try my best, but you know, he's been hitting me up for years, you know, since he decided to put the team together and just gauging my interest. And you know, I appreciated the space and respect he gave me. So I'm glad that he's finally convinced me to play.
I'll follow up with Mike. Mike, was that a stressful process not hearing back from him, or what was that recruitment like?
I always like to joke that with Brandon, you got to factor in about 3 to 4 business days on a response. But you also got to factor in the fact that the guy's in Australia. I think the window of time that I had to communicate with him was in the morning, between like 6 and 8 a.m. or at night at like 10 to midnight. So, but I think with Brandon, it always helps to know the guy that you're talking to. And Brandon's a guy that, you know, if you're able to give him his space, and Brandon's never going to be forced into a decision. Brandon's always going to make a decision for himself. And all my job was is just to provide him with the information, the team that we have and what it's all going to look like. I sent him over like a bunch of PDFs, so that he could just read through it and from there, you know, I kind of, you know, the ball's in his court and it's his decision, and whether he decides to play with us or decides not to, like, you know, that doesn't change anything between him and I. And typically with Brandon, it's he has really good reasons. You make sure to kind of feel it out and understand that, you know, if we're going to have Brandon, that's a huge piece to our team. And if we're not, you know, how are we gonna act on that, and how are we gonna continue to recruit to fill that potential void? But he's always been transparent with me. That's the one thing you'll get with Brandon is transparency. He doesn't beat around the bush. He tells you how it is. And when you're putting together a team, those are the things that you appreciate, is guys that are straightforward with you and not guys that kind of lead you on and don't give you a straight answer or kind of are wishy-washy. And if there's one thing about Brandon Paul, he is not wishy-washy. And that's another thing I've always loved about him. And it makes it even more meaningful when he does give you a commitment, because he's true to his word and he doesn't BS.
Hey, Brandon, I was just wondering, you know, with you being one of the last additions, what were your thoughts kind of on the roster that Mike has put together, and who are some, you know, guys you're looking forward to reuniting with, and maybe some guys you're looking forward to playing with whose games you maybe kept an eye on after you left school?
Yeah, I think we've got the right pieces. You know, it's everyone in TBT is competitive. It doesn't really matter the name in the back of the jersey. No one's going to step on the court and look at us and be fearful. I mean, they might, but they're coming out to play just like we are. So I'm going in with the mindset that whoever I step on the court with, we're going out for blood. So I look at the roster and I see a lot of hungry guys. I see guys that they want to compete, and I see guys that I know, you know, for the most part. So I'm definitely very excited to get on the court with these guys.
Those were former Illini Brandon Paul and Mike Latula previewing the TBT. We're back Tuesday. Everybody have a good long weekend. Happy 4th from everyone here at ESPN 93.5. This is The Drive.